Hello and welcome to the broadcast. We're thankful to you for taking the time to listen to this message. We pray it'll be a blessing. We do want these messages to be used as an outreach of our congregation here in Armagh just at this time of crisis, especially when the lockdown is in place and services aren't able to take place. We encourage you as well to watch the messages that are on our Facebook page. Scroll back down through our timeline. We have quite a number of messages there. And also go to our sermon audio site. And you'll find many messages and testimonies there that we trust will be a help, a blessing, and an encouragement to you. We're going to read in the Word of God. We want to ask you to take the Bible and follow in the reading. We're in the Old Testament, Amos chapter 4 and the verse 10. We're reading just down to the end of this chapter, and that's down to the end of verse 13. So Amos chapter 4 and the 10th verse. Let's hear the word of God. The Lord says, I have sent among you the pestilence. How relevant those words are for the days in which we live. He says, the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses, and I have made the stink of your camps to come up onto your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formeth the mountains, and createth the wind, and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. So just ending there, and we know the Lord will add his blessing to this, the public reading of his word. We're going to pray just for a moment. We need your prayers, but let's just seek the Lord together for his help. And especially we'll pray the Lord will speak through this message to the saving of many souls. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to preach the gospel. Thank you for the technology that is available to us in this day in which we live, that enables us to broadcast the gospel, not just in our own community and in our own land, but even to the very ends of the earth. We pray, Father, that you'll bless all of these broadcasts. Thank you for all that are involved in the preparation of them. But our prayer, Father, is that you will use them. We pray that many will find these messages. We pray, Father, that they will be used especially to the saving of precious souls. Remember our own church at this time. Watch over the witness of the gospel here in Armagh. And Lord, our prayer is that even these very unprecedented days in which we live and the unusual events will fall out onto the furtherance of the gospel. Grant us your help then now, we pray. Come upon us by thy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The words of our text are Amos chapter 4 and the verse 12, especially the words at the very end of the text, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. I want to impress those words upon your heart. We ask you to consider them carefully. The theme that I want to speak on from this text of Scripture is what the coronavirus warns you to do. And the answer to that question, brethren and sisters, men and women, is this. It prepares you to meet God. I want you to consider the question. I want to ask you the question. Are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to die? Are you ready to depart from this life? The Apostle Paul, at the end of his life, could say, I am now ready to be offered. And how important that is. There's no greater blessing in this world. You may be able to say today that you're ready for many things. many things in life, many things in the future. But the question is, what of eternity? Are you ready, men and women, for eternity? I want us to consider that, and I want us to consider preparing for eternity, preparing to meet God, as it's found in this text. And there's some questions about that all-important subject that I want you to consider with me. Think first of all of the question, who you must prepare to meet. The text says, prepare to meet thy God. And how solemn, how serious, how sobering that is. One day, you're going to meet the Lord. Not your parents, not the elders of the church, not the police, not a judge, an earthly judge, not an earthly monarch. It is God himself. The one that you have offended, the one that you have rebelled against, the one whose law you have broken, the one whose wrath you have provoked. And I want to ask you to think of this God with me, because remember, he knows everything about you. Just take that in for a moment. God is omniscient. That means that there's no limits whatsoever to the knowledge of God. Think of what Peter said to the Lord Jesus, Lord, thou knowest all things. And how fearful that reality, that truth is, men and women. When you think of your life, when you think of how you've lived, when you think of the things that you've done, I want to remind you today, you're going to stand before a God who knows all things, especially about you. He knows all that ever you did. Remember that no one else knows all about you. It doesn't matter who that person is or how well they know you. Not even your closest family members know everything about you. But God does. Remember the woman at Samaria? The woman that was converted when she met the Lord at Sychar's well? She went into the city and she said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. The Lord knows everything. He knew everything that woman ever did. And the same is true of you. Nothing has been missed. Nothing has been overlooked. Nothing has been forgotten. The Savior taught when he was here on earth that there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. The things that you have covered during your lifetime, the things that you've kept secret, the things that you've never made known, even the things that you want to forget, the reality is the Lord knows all about them. Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes taught that the Lord will judge every secret thing. There are no secrets from God. You may have secrets from your nearest and dearest, but I want you to see today you have no secrets from God. He knows everything that you ever did, and he's the one that you must prepare to meet. The second question I want you to think of is, why must you prepare to die, or why must you prepare to meet God? The text gives that great exhortation, prepare to meet thy God. But why, men and women? Well, the answer is because of what is to follow. Remember what the book of Hebrews says, after death, the judgment. So why must you prepare for death and to meet the Lord? It's because of the judgment. Whenever you meet God, there's going to be a day of judgment. There's going to be a day of answering. There's going to be a day of accounting for the life that you've lived here upon this earth. Paul, when he was preaching on Mars Hill in Athens, said that God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world. If you're going to court, there's always a date for the case. There's an appointed day. There's an appointed time. And it's the same, men and women, in eternity. I want to remind you that God's judgment day is set. God's judgment day is fixed. Paul said he has appointed the day. What that means is it's sure. It's absolutely certain. God's judgment day will take place. You will not escape the judgment. This is not something that you will be able to evade. God's court will never be adjourned. And this is the reason why you need to prepare, men and women, to meet God, because there is judgment to come. You ask today, what will that judgment be like? Well, the judge himself will be the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of the Revelation says, and him that sat on it. That's talking about the one that's sitting on the great white throne of judgment, Revelation chapter 20. And that one is the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the judge. What that means is that the one who today is your Savior, on that day he's going to be your judge. We're told that the books were opened. You will not be judged by hearsay. The evidence that will be used against you, God's judgment bar, will be sure. The book of the Revelation says that the books were opened. Notice that it's in the plural, the books were opened. The Bible will be there to judge you. God blessed you with his word. The book of law will be there. The Lamb's book of life. Also the book of your deeds. I want to stress that. I want you to be aware today. There's a record that has been kept in heaven of your life here upon this earth. The Bible also teaches, Revelation chapter 20, that the throne is white in color. Why is that? It's to teach you that the judgment of that great day will be a pure judgment, a judgment that will be just. There will be no miscarriages of justice at God's judgment bar. You will get what you deserve. And I want you to think of this. What will you deserve if you die unsaved? And the answer to that is, you will deserve eternity in hell. You will deserve a lost eternity to be cast out into the lake of fire forever and forever. So that's the reason, men and women, why you must prepare to meet God. There's a third question I want you to think of. That's the question, how do you prepare to meet God? Here's something that's vital. And I want to say to you, it's not by making your will or arranging your funeral. It's good to do those things, that they have their place. Nor is it by religious ritual or ceremony. Regardless of what religion that is, or what ceremony you pass through, all of those things are of no value in the light of eternity. Paul said of the Jewish ceremonies that they could never, never put away sin. So you ask today, how do you prepare to meet God? Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, the first sermon he ever preached during his earthly ministry, repent ye and believe the gospel. So the message is this. Let me sum it up in this way. Turn and trust. That's how you prepare to meet God. Remember, there are two things that you can do with your sins. Either you can hold on to them or you can turn from them. And I want to ask you today, which will it be? There's a young lad in America many years ago. He was reaching down into a glass jar and he couldn't get his hand back out again because his hand was clenched in a fist. He was told to release the grip that he had, or the fist that he was making, but he wouldn't do it. That was the only way he could get his hand back out. And the reason he wouldn't release the grip or the fist that he had made was because he had a coin, a dime, in the center of his hand and his fist, and he wouldn't let go of the coin. And maybe you're just like that. You won't let go. You won't let go of your sin. And men and women, until you do, you can't be saved. I want to urge you today to turn from your sins. I want to urge you to repent. But remember that you also need to trust Jesus Christ. Remember the great message Paul and Silas had for the Philippian jailer? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. There are many hard things in the Bible. That is true. Peter, speaking of the writings of Paul, the epistles of Paul, said there are things hard to be understood. But I want you to know today that the way of salvation is not one of the hard things that is found in the Bible. It is plain, men and women. The message of salvation is set out plainly and clearly for all to read, for all to know, for all to understand. And the message is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What you need to do today when you turn from your sins is you need to rest. You're all upon Jesus Christ and upon his finished sacrifice. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust anyone else or anything else. Trust Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Why must you trust him? Well, he's the one that dealt with your sins. He's the one who by his sacrifice put away the wrath of God for your sins. He's the one that was punished in your place and in your stead. And remember, he's the only way of salvation. There is no other way to heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So I want to warn you, if you won't go to heaven by Christ and by his salvation, then you won't be able to go at all, because there is no other way of salvation. So this is how you prepare to meet God. The final question I want you to think of is, when must you prepare to meet God? And the answer, men and women, is now, today. This chapter reveals to us Israel had put off turning to the Lord. Look at the end of verse 11, the words that are repeated several times in the passage. Yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Remember, there had been famine in the land. God had been speaking, you see. There had been famine. There had been drought. There had been pestilence. How relevant, how up to date the circumstances that we find ourselves in, even all across the earth at this time. So there had been famine and drought and pestilence. God had overthrown some of the cities in the land. God had been patient, you see. God had spoken. He had spoken to these people clearly and repeatedly. And the same is happening in our own land. The same is happening with nations across the globe, men and women, at this time. God is speaking clearly and repeatedly. Much time had passed even for Israel, but still they were not right with God. Still they had put off the matter of getting right, the matter of God's salvation, the matter of turning again to him. And isn't that so familiar today? People are always putting off salvation. And perhaps you're one of those people. You think of Pharaoh when the plague of frogs was on the land. The frogs were everywhere, in Pharaoh's bedroom, in the kitchens when they were making the bread and the kneading trucks and so forth. And then Pharaoh requested Moses to take the frogs away. And Moses asked Pharaoh when, and he gave quite a startling answer. He said to Moses, tomorrow. You would have thought he would have said today, immediately, right away. But Pharaoh's answer was tomorrow. And people have that same attitude to salvation. They say, I know I should get saved and I intend to get saved, but I will do it tomorrow, not today, some more convenient time. Remember, men and women, that tomorrow never comes. God says clearly in his word that you should be saved today. Think of the words of the Savior to Zacchaeus. Today I must abide at thy house. There's great urgency in this matter of salvation. You need to do it immediately. I want you to see, men and women, how foolish it is to put off the matter of God's salvation, because there's danger, there's death in delay. Dr. L.R. Scarborough was an evangelist in America. He was preaching at the morning meeting in the First Baptist Church of Little Rock in Arkansas. And at the end of the meeting, a medical doctor in the congregation got saved, put his trust in Jesus Christ as a Savior. It's good that he did, men and women, because that very afternoon he died. He was called from this scene of time. So I stress to you again, there's danger and death in delay. Remember, if you don't get saved now, you may never get saved at all. Think of the Niagara River. There's a sign as you're coming down that river, you come to a place, there's a sign that says, past redemption point. And after that point, after that place in the river, if you continue, there's no hope. There's no hope of being saved. You're going to go out over the falls, out over the rapids. And the same can be true of the sinner. You can be past redemption point. Esau was. He sold his birthright. And in selling his birthright, he sold with it all the blessings of that birthright. And the Bible says, for you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Past redemption point. And I wonder, men and women, will that happen to you. Let me warn you clearly, if you continue to refuse God's offer of salvation, the Spirit of God can withdraw. And if the Spirit of God withdraws from your life, no longer speaks and strives upon your heart, then there will be no hope. There will be no hope for you to be saved. Let me tell you another reason why you should get saved now. And that is so that your life can be saved, as well as your soul. Don't waste your life on the things of this world. Don't waste your life in the service of the devil and then come to Christ at the end of your days. I want to urge you today to give your life as well as your soul to Jesus Christ in salvation. Let me just say in conclusion, think of the Scouts' motto, be prepared. And the reality is, if ever there was a day, if ever there was an event that you needed to be prepared for, it's death. It's meeting the Lord. Men and women, death, the grim reaper, is coming. And I want to urge you today to be prepared, to be ready for that great day. Think of the words of our text. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Here's what the coronavirus warns you to do. It warns you to prepare today to meet the Lord. I pray the Lord will speak powerfully and even savingly through this message. Let's just have a brief word of prayer as we close. Father, we lift our hearts to thee, thankful for your goodness and your help. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the gospel, the good news of one that loved us, that died for us. Thank you, Father, for the plan of salvation. Thank you for making known that plan of salvation to us. We praise thee for blessing us with the light of Scripture. And Lord, our prayer is that you'll use this message today, that it will be as it was when Paul spoke by the river in Philippi those many years ago, that hearts will be opened to receive the word of God. So hear our cries. We pray that you'll bless all that has been said and done in this broadcast. And we pray now that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit the Comforter will be our abiding portion. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.